Well, thought I'd share a little bit with you about how our God changes the weather. Yes, we know there's a shakeup going on, but God is in it. He's sure teaching some people too. I received an email the other day from John Fagan, and the subject matter that he sent was potentially historic flooding coming your direction. Well, he was certainly right. That's where stuff from down there curls around and comes up here. But and he was speaking about the storm system that they're calling Goliath. And on the 28th, he wrote, "Hey, Robin, I was sort of joking about Goliath going to pay y'all a visit and David getting his rock chunker ready. His last message included a reminder of those dams y'all are concerned about above your area." Yeah, he's talking about Boone's Dam. It's on up there a ways above us. And it's been failing, you know, since what I think maybe October or before last, due to we believe a fault line going through there. And it's the water in Boone Lake is washing out underneath the dam. And Boone Lake is, I think, 165 feet above, below the dam where the water goes, you know. So it's pretty good high pressure. And they're now saying that they plan a fix of drilling 500 pillars on the lake side of the dam and pumping grout through them. And then another 700 pillars for the sum of about $200 to $300 million and project lasting about 7 years. My thinking is a fat chance. God's going to rewild that area below the dam. But anyway, he goes on to say, this report says that historic flooding is expected with this system and its runoff. And that certainly turned out to be true. Moreover, forewarned is forearmed. Suggest y'all take authority and make your preps before it gets bad. Yep. And then he sends this article called Potentially Historic River Flooding. I think since for some reason they took the article down, it definitely was historic flooding. And the flooding is still happening because the runoff is still happening, so it's rising up. I just looked at one report of 15 foot above flood stage on the Mississippi, which is not good. And, of course, major tornado damage and loss of life. Anyway, early on the morning of the 28th, before John sent this warning in the afternoon, we saw Goliath coming on the radar, and I wrote back to him on the 29th. I said, "Hi, John. Yesterday morning, we saw it on the radar. We commanded it to split in two and go around us, and that is just what it did by the grace of God." And Don's our weather guy, and he's been watching these things split for quite a while now. He'd report them. We've watched them ourselves sometimes, you know, but he saves us a lot of time in the morning. He looks and tells us what's coming. And I tell you what, we've been having tremendous success by the grace of God. And this thing did split, went down both sides of us, and we only got a gentle sprinkle out of it. We told the Lord we didn't want more than what we needed, and he certainly blessed us. And even a follow-up storm today, we rebuked it, and it went just barely southeast of us, going, you know, north, you know. And I wrote back to him, and I said, this has been common to us, and this is how the Lord has been giving us good weather. And that is certainly so true. He has been blessing us with far less than what they're firing at us. And here's an article here. I might read just a piece of it. Tornadoes and flooding rain hit the South Midwest Christmas week of 2015. I'm not going to read just the general part of it because he goes through every day and lists everything that happened there. Tornadoes, the deadliest December in 62 years. The Weather Channel severe weather expert Dr. Greg Forbes says the past week was one for the record books. A multi-day siege of deadly tornadoes and flooding rains hammered parts of the South and the Midwest during Christmas week 2015. As of the December the 28th, roughly 50 tornadoes were estimated in a seven-day span, according to severe weather expert Greg Forbes, including on six consecutive days from December the 23rd through December the 28th. And meteorologist Adam Dean found only 1982 and 1953 had six straight December days with at least one tornado in the United States dating to 1950. And so this went way over that. 50 tornadoes in a seven-day span. Sadly, it's also been the deadliest December for tornadoes in the United States since 1953. Over 400 river gauges reported river flooding, according to the National Weather Service, from Texas to Ohio and Mississippi to Virginia on December the 28th, thanks to multiple rounds of torrential rain. I'm not going to go into the rest of this, but you get the point. It was bad stuff. And the Lord blessed us. Praise His holy name. So, and we're seeing how God promised us awesome weather here in several dreams. And now we're seeing this is how it's coming, is people taking authority over it. You know, many witnesses here will confirm that for years now, when we notice a storm coming on radar of snow or ice or rain or tornadoes, we have been commanding them to split and to go around us with great success, thanks to our God. And we watch them split on the radar. And if we need rain, we just thank God for just the right amount and let the excess go around us. But we know they're firing quite a bit of excess rain. They're robbing the West Coast to destroy the food source, and then they're dumping it towards the East Coast to do the same thing, and lots of other reasons too, but those are just two of them. But and during the great drought of a couple of years ago, our gardens put forth successfully because God had us prepare with chips on our gardens. And as you know, there was a real drought. And at the end of it, the reason there was an end of it, I guess, is that we commanded the rain to return, and it did. Thank you, Father. And it was all by the grace of our wonderful God and Father. We know that you can't really completely deliver an area of the curse due to sinners living there. And they must reap what they sow or they will not learn a lesson, so there's chastenings that come. But when they see God do deliverance, they are grateful and some of them repent even because of that, which is nice. But we also know that God is sending them another judgment, which is earthquakes, to take up the slack, I guess, and drive some that are under the curse out of the area. And this is the way an area can be best defended, when the people are not under the curse. You probably would do good to read Joshua chapter 7, which is a perfect example of this. And that's where Achan brought a curse on Israel, who couldn't stand before their enemies due to him hoarding devoted things. They were devoted to God for destruction, you know. A wedge of gold, which I felt the Lord told me represented causing division for the sake of advantage. 200 shekels of silver, which is kind of like Judas the traitor and his silver, and a Babylonian mantle, I believe, representing an anointing to do the works of the beast. Of course, we've been cleansed of just such people, and we are seeing signs and wonders. But the greater works are coming. They're coming now so that the whole true church can be delivered and see the blessings of God. He has provided us with all that we need. And these are needs to have good weather, decent weather. And even your wants are important to Him if you serve Him. If you're going your own way, well, you just have to put up with the curse. And because God sent that, if you read Deuteronomy 28, some of the prosperity folks don't believe it. They don't care what the Bible says. Read Deuteronomy 28. God says He sent the curse. And it's still here. He sent it to people who are rebelling against His word. And the nation is reaping the harvest of this. But the righteous, folks, you can do it even if it's just to make it split and go around your house. We were moving Philip Sapp one day, and just the black clouds were rolling in, and we just commanded them to part, and they did. And we didn't get rained on that day. We just moved him, and wasn't a problem. So praise be to God. He can do anything. We need to be like little children, you know, just submitting to Him and trusting Him to do these things. The mountain that we live on has been famous around here for lightning strikes. The rocks in the mountain are full of iron, and rust can be seen in those rocks sometimes, which makes it a perfect lightning rod, especially with the tall trees on top. You can see strips of bark are missing down the sides of many of the trees that have died and fallen over in the years from lightning strikes. And sometimes you can see big trees with a strip of bark missing off of them going down the side, standing up and still in pretty good shape. And of course, that would be nice if they'd heal over, right? Well, I'll get to that in a minute. Well, lightning would hit a tree and run down into the ground and travel long distances through the rocks. We've seen it jump out of the rocks as a ball of light right next to the house. We don't know where it went in at. We just knew where it came out at. So we know what it does. It runs through the rocks. And so this mountain's been famous for this. We love it here. It's awesome. It's just nice and quiet and just a blessing, a real blessing. So once it traveled through the ground and ran up a ground wire and took out a radio, and once it ran up a ground to the house wiring and took out an oven, which we replaced with a better one for $35 at the local used place, almost brand new, and the Lord led us to that. So it was a blessing. So anyway, we had a kind of a duh moment and decided to forbid, according to Matthew 18:18 through 20, lightning to hit the top of this mountain. And it was pretty regular, let me tell you. And so we haven't had a lightning strike since we did that. And Matthew 18:18 says, "Verily, I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again I say unto you, that if two of you agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Well, notice that if we are His disciple and we agree and forbid something, Jesus is there to do the work. Notice that. We also decided to heal the trees that were standing but had been hit by lightning, and have seen progress in that area too. You know, when a strip of the bark is just literally blown off the side of a tree, it can go ahead and die, or it can heal over. And of course, we prayed for that, and we believe God's doing that. We've actually seen some of them healing. So, praise the Lord, you know. God is awesome. Is there anything our God can't do? He loves to bless us. He loves to, I'm not talking prosperity. He loves to bless us. But He loves us to be obedient to Him, too. Well, I had plenty of practice with this kind of stuff with the hurricanes that came in off the Gulf. And I commanded one hurricane that was pointed right at our house. And some asked me, what was I going to do? I said, nothing. My big angel is in the front yard, and the hurricane is not coming here. That was just what came out of my heart and my mouth, you know. Just on the spur of the moment, you know. It wasn't through a lot of prayer, you know. It was just decreeing a thing. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be done unto thee, right? And many got on the interstate to leave town, and some got caught on the interstate by the storm. But to make a long story short, the hurricane stopped when the outer wall hit the beach and made a half circle around us and then turned back north. It just, like it was coming straight at us, made a half circle around us and then kept going north, completely missing us. And I kid you not, we watched it. It did destroy Pensacola Beach, which at that time was offshore. Of course, it's offshore, but the outer wall hit Pensacola Beach with and washed through there, with leaving about 7 or 8 feet of sand washing in the front of those businesses and out the back, and tremendous wind was there, but the Pensacola mainland was spared. And God is so faithful to His Word. There were times that we forbid them to damage our house and just let them go through. And God honored this too. You know, God says in John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will. It shall be done unto you. Awesome. I want to tell you, sometimes, you know, in my growing up in the Lord and learning these things, sometimes God will answer just to honor your faith, because you're doing the best you can with what you have. You're being obedient to everything you know, and He answers just for that reason. And Hurricane Ivan was like that. Everyone's roof in the area were damaged, and many lost homes. But our roof was like 35 years old and needed to be changed. But we didn't even lose one shingle, where some that had new roofs were losing shingles all over the place. We didn't even lose one shingle. Huge live oaks were all through the area and around our house. Many took out homes or parts of homes. I had a neighbor that was so paranoid, he cut down a beautiful live oak in his front yard. He was afraid it was going to tip over and rip up his foundation and so on and so forth, or take down his house. Just paranoia struck some people, and they started cutting some of them down, which is crazy. You just pray them back up there. Just pray them to stay there, you know. We always commanded ours to stand, and they have, you know. So God is good. Isn't it great to know God? You know, I mean, people that are fearful and have to do things that they really don't want to do. And my goodness, there was a big pine out in the on the right-of-way that I had asked the city to take down because it was cracking my driveway. And grass doesn't grow well under them either. And I just didn't like them. I consider them a weed. And the city was sometimes willing to take one down if it was over their power lines. which it was. But they refused to take it down, so the Lord did during Ivan. He took it down. And he killed two birds with one stone, so to speak. He knew just what was in my heart, just what I desired. We had an awning in front of the house, which I wanted for some time to either add to or replace it because it wouldn't cover all of our cars. But there was an oak on the edge of it that I wanted a new awning to circle around. It was kind of on the edge, but I didn't want to take it down. I liked my trees. And so I wanted a new awning that would go around it, and would be, that way it would be wide enough to cover all the cars. And so I wouldn't have to remove it. And the pine tree took the old awning down completely. My car was under it. You couldn't even see my car. And you just looking at it from the outside, you'd think, oh, it smashed your car. But my car wasn't even scratched. That's the benefits of serving the Lord. And then a friend offered to put us up a new one, just like I wanted it, going around the oak. And he did it very cheaply. And another brother fixed the driveway where the roots of the pine had was pulling it up. And I was very happy with the results. God is so good. You know, He can just work everything together for your good. And even the things that you desire, you know, but aren't an emergency or aren't a great need, you know, He does it. John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, it shall be done unto you. God is so happy to please those that please Him. Well, while all of this lightning thing was going on and we were learning our lessons and stuff, we were getting another powerful lesson from the Lord. Tornadoes formed. I'm talking about formed in our area, not parting them before they got to our area, but formed inside of our area when rainstorms would pop up or whatever. And they came to our mountain. You know, every time we heard them coming, they began pelting the windows of the house with stuff. So we would hear it and we'd rebuke them. We jumped up one morning and that was what was happening. Strong winds and pelting the windows, and we rebuked it and it left without damage. And that was in the early morning. And then, let me tell you, the evening, the same thing happened with another tornado. You say, what's the chances of that? I tell you what. Well, but we got the message and we did what we were supposed to do. We incurred no damage, you know. And another one came and took down a tree and the power line that was coming up the side of the mountain, which they came and replaced quickly and freely. And we ended up with free firewood. So we considered these occurrences highly unlikely. You know, first of all, tornadoes don't like mountains as much as they do plains. And so we believed it was, you know, a test from God to see if we would walk by faith. And we did, and we saw the wondrous results, you know. But tornadoes aren't as bad as hurricanes, and we saw wondrous results on the Gulf with those hurricanes. But we thought it highly unlikely, and we came to believe it was a combination of our enemies doing their witchcraft and the powers that be, considering that they have gotten very good at making and directing tornadoes. I don't know if you've ever studied this, but it's a fact. And this was clearly proven when people began to predict tornadoes for the next day by what was clearly unnatural man-made radar signatures. And their predictions came true consistently. And, of course, they killed people. I believe they were hunting down some of their enemies with tornadoes. At any rate, we we lost nothing and prospered through the whole thing through faith in our awesome God. And then we had that duh moment again, you know, and decided to forbid the tornadoes to come to this mountain. And they never have come back. So, what's the moral of this story, huh? Don't forget to pray and exercise your authority over all kinds of weather. Like we're told in James 4 and 2, you have not because you ask not. It could save your life or those around you. God is just so awesome, isn't he? He is just so awesome. Well, we're learning these little lessons, which I consider crumbs off the master's table. Let me share this with you. Something better is coming. Much greater. The greater works are coming, you know. And Eve Brast had this dream about pray for the man-child's anointing, because this is going to be a great salvation to the church. And she had that on December the 22nd of this year. She says, I dreamed that David looked just like Jesus, but it was David on the inside. And I believe that this represents the works of Jesus manifested in the David man-child body. He was dressed in a white seamless garment. I believe white implies purity and seamless implies not man-made, which means no works of the flesh, right? And I believe David here represents the man-child ministry. And so he was going around healing all these sick people. They were all desperate and begging for him to heal them. Well, this is just as it was when Jesus came the first time and sat upon the throne of David, right? And ruled over God's true people. Now he's coming through the Word of God and the latter rain anointing manifested in the man-child ministry. And this is going to be all over the world. This is definitely going to be the greater works, because it's going to be through a lot more people. And the greater works, because greater miracles are going to be done. So, both are true. And the next part I remember is that I was in a long log cabin. And I think this represents the wilderness tribulation to come. That we were having a UBM meeting in. I was sitting on the floor waiting for everything to start when Michael Hare came up to me. He was smiling and had light shining in his eyes. He presented something to me that he was holding between his thumb and forefinger. I looked at it and it looked white and fluffy. And I asked him, "What is it?" A play on the words in the scriptures about manna. What is it? And almost immediately, I answered my own question. Manna! I exclaimed, and I took it and ate it right away. And after this, I felt power enter into me. And I knew that the Father would give me whatever I asked of him in prayer. Wow, what a gift, right? Eating the manna gives power to believe God. Now, what does that represent? Well, let me take a shot at it here. When Michael gives to Eve, representing the bride, the manna from heaven, she is empowered to believe. The manna came in the wilderness and represents the Word of God. John 6:49. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. Of course, it kept them alive for a while, as long as they needed. But he's talking about something greater coming here, right? And this is the bread which cometh down out of heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Now that's manna. And I am the bread which came down out of heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Yea, and the bread which I give is my flesh, for the life of the world. And then if we look at John 1 and 14, we see that the Word says, and the Word became flesh. So it's the Word that is His flesh, which is this manna from heaven, right? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, hallelujah. And how much are we, the church, which is the body of Christ, supposed to be the Word made flesh? And how can we do that? Well, we eat that manna from heaven. It goes into us and recreates Him in us, because He is the manna from heaven. He is the Word. The Word made flesh in us is what God desires. And when it is made flesh in us, we will be doing these greater works of Jesus. Well, notice that He did not say that if you confess Jesus as your personal Savior, but when you devour His Word, you will have eternal life. And when this manna Word is manifested in you, you receive your requests, like John 15 and 7 we were talking about a few minutes ago. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. I asked the Father for a word concerning Michael, which means, by the way, who is like God, concerning Michael giving me the manna, and received Ezekiel 18 and 9. In context, 7 through 9 says this, if a man does not oppress anyone, but restores to the debtor his pledge, does not commit robbery, but gives his bread to the hungry, covers the naked with clothing, if he does not lend money on interest or take increase, if he keeps his hand from iniquity and executes true justice between man and man, if he walks in my statutes and my ordinances so as to deal faithfully, he is righteous and will surely live, declares the Lord God. So basically what we're seeing here is that a faithful servant of the Lord who keeps His word will be able to give the manna word from heaven to the bride or whoever needs it, right? Amen? And this is life, you know. This manna word is life. Wouldn't you like to be to all the people around you, all your friends and relatives and others, life? Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living waters. This spake he of the Spirit that they that believed on him were to receive. Speaking the living waters. Amen. Oh, how great God is. He is going to bless us. Remember Ezekiel's river? As it went down, as it got deeper, and as it spread out, and, waters to swim in, and so on and so forth. I believe that we're coming to that revival. I call it a revival because I believe that's what it's representing. It's a revival of people who speak the living waters. And, of course, the marshes were given up to salt because they were stagnant. They weren't living waters. They weren't moving from the throne of God within, right? Out of your innermost being, he said, shall flow rivers of living water. But Revelation says, out of the throne of God, these living waters sprang forth and went by the tree of life on either side, right? The tongue of the righteous is a tree of life. Speaking these things, we're called to speak these things for God. Not to make us great, it's Him. He's the one, you know. He's great. And if we're faithful servants, He can bless us with that anointing to do the greater works. And according to this revelation, it's all about praying for the Davids that are coming as our new leadership, right, to do the greater works. We need those healings. We need those deliverances. We need this wonderful thing that's coming down the road here. So pray for it. Pray for it. Eve said, "Then I got up and went over to a table and sat down with my hands clasped together and started to pray." Why? Because she had just received the manna. She knew that if she received that manna, she was going to get everything she prayed for. So she's, "Well, okay, let's go get it," you know. She was now asking God for everything by faith, right? "Then David came over to me, looking like David again." So this was back before this wonderful miracle that she spoke about here in the beginning. He was looking like David again. "And placed a small handful of breadcrumbs on the table before me. He said, 'Eve, I need you to pray for me.'" Well, I believe looking like David again means that before the Davids look like Jesus and do all of His healings and works and mentioned above, you know, in this state, they need prayer to do those greater works. The crumbs on the table represent the minor works being handed out now. Matthew 15:27, "But she said, 'Yea, Lord, for even the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table.'" So, the man-child Davids need prayer for this anointing. This is going to shake the world. It's going to save the church, too. Praise God. It's the Lord Jesus coming as the anointing and as His Word manifested in a man-child body, which the Bible prophesies all through it. "He said this in a very calm and serious way. He then walked off to the right into another part of the log cabin. And I then took a white cloth and scooped the breadcrumbs into it and held it between my hands as I began to pray in earnest for David," representing the Davids, right? David ministry. And I believe what she was doing here is praying for those crumbs to be made whole. Just a guess. That's what came to me. In other words, the whole thing, everything. You know, the Lord promised through Joel that He was going to restore everything that's been stolen from His crop, devoured from His crop, going to restore it all. Except the glory of the latter house is greater than the glory of the former house. Just like the glory of the latter rain is going to be greater than the glory of the former rain. That's why Jesus said, "Greater works than these shall you do, because I go to the Father." Amen. "Well, I asked Father for a verse for David asking me to pray for him and receive through faith. Psalm 89:27. I also will make him," that is David, "my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth." Wow. And you say, well, that was about Jesus. It sure, certainly was, and it's still about Jesus, because history repeats. It's all about Jesus. He is the highest of the kings of the earth. But He did it in the body of the Son of David, and He's going to do it in these days in the body of a son of David, a corporate son of David. Just remember, in the book of Revelation, all those entities were corporate bodies. The beast is a corporate body. The woman was a corporate body. The harlot was a corporate body. On and on. They were all corporate bodies. And that man-child there was a corporate body too, because that man-child had to minister to that woman in the wilderness. And that woman is the church. Now that's a mighty large body for one person to minister to. That's why all of those entities are corporate bodies. And many other reasons for that too. The kingdom itself is not an individual kingdom anymore of natural Israel. It's a spiritual kingdom of spiritual Israel worldwide. Everything has grown. Okay? So she said, I believe this is saying to pray earnestly for the man-child's anointing. Highest of the kings of the earth. So, this is that kingly anointing, right? In context here, is what was spoken to David, Psalm 89 and 19. Then thou spakest in vision to thy saints, and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. We need help. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant with my holy oil, and I have anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. Who is the arm of the Lord? Jesus Christ, right? And who does the arm of the Lord use in the earth? The hand. He said, with whom my hand shall be established, my arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact from him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his adversaries before him, and smite them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my loving kindness shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. A horn is a weapon. It is a voice. It is, you know, these kinds of things. I will set his hand also on the sea, and his right hand upon the rivers. Wow, that's good. We need somebody to control them. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, the rock of my salvation. I also will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. Well, Lord, please do wonderfully. Lord, please bring this to pass. Your people need help in these days. And there isn't enough to go around. We need you, Lord Jesus. We ask you to come and help us. Then I asked Father, why did David ask me to pray for him? And I received Psalm 119 and 90. My finger was on the words, Thy faithfulness. And she said, those who are in the bride will be faithful to keep his commandments and will receive power with God to do his works. Yep, I agree with that 100%. And I might say also that if we take only the words pointed out, it would speak of the bride's faithfulness being a reason her prayers are heard. And if we look at the text, it speaks of God's faithfulness to keep his word. Psalm 119 and 89. Lamech, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. So we can see here in this text that both fit the circumstances of the dream pretty well. And so, saints, the exhortation here is pray for the man-child's anointing. The church needs this. This is God's prayer request that he sent to us, and we should pay attention. Well, Father, we just join our faith together today. And Lord, we're just tired of the crumbs, Lord. We have a much greater need because we have a much greater enemy. coming against us. And Lord Jesus, come and stand up in your people. Stand up in your bride. Stand up in your church. Do your wondrous works, O Lord. Manifest the greater works through your body, Lord. Manifest the completion of your salvation in your body, Lord. We know that, Lord, salvation is demonstrated in the body of Jesus Christ when he was on the earth. And now, Lord, it is to be manifested in the corporate body of Jesus Christ, in that they too will go forth and do the mighty signs and wonders and miracles and provisions and deliverances and healings and all of the wonderful things, and be such a great witness of real true Christianity, which most of the church has departed from. So Lord, we're just asking you, have mercy on your people. Send your great salvation. I think Jesus means Jehovah is salvation, or Yah is salvation. Yes, he is God's salvation, both manifested as a demonstration and manifested to deliver us to come into the same thing. So, Father, thank you for your kindness, your mercy upon your people. Lord, none of us are worthy, but you have decided to choose and use those that are your true disciples, who walk in the steps of your word and have a desire to know it and to live it. And Lord, we do desire earnestly that you would live it in us. As we saw in the verses earlier, he will be in the midst. And that is to do the works, to live the life. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory, Lord. And we thank you for doing this, Father. Lord, we see the beast rising up and on every side, the curse devouring the earth with the strangest and craziest weather we've ever seen. Hatred against Christianity all over the world. Our enemies in governments raising up ISIS to wipe out Christianity in the Middle East and here. And Lord, we need our Savior. We ask that, Father, you would send our Savior. Let him manifest in us. Let him do this work. Let him show your wondrous power. Let the peoples be thwarted in their beastly efforts to do away with your people, and let the people of God rise up as the body of Christ in the earth to do the same works and to shake this earth with your salvation, Lord. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for it. We know you're going to enjoy this, and that we are going to enjoy this too. Lord, so many of your people only know the scary stuff of the tribulation, and they definitely don't want to go there, and they don't even want to talk about it. but Lord, they're going. So it's a moot point. They're going. So we're just asking you, Lord, to open their understanding. Help them see your purpose in always sending your man-childs out to meet the beast. And no, not flying away to heaven to not come back, but just to be useless. But you raise up your people, Lord, to be used in your harvest field. And it's a great harvest that we're seeing out there, Lord. We've got to be workers in your harvest. That's what you've called us to be. No one is called to be just perfected in themselves. But we're called to faithfully carry out the work of the gospel. And demonstrate the gospel. And there's people that talk about the gospel. Meet preachers that talk about the gospel, But they can't demonstrate it, and they don't know what it is. The good news to them is that little tiny amount they learned in Bible school, you know. But the good news to us is far greater, what you're showing that you want to do for your people. And many of your people, Lord, you know, are dying for lack of knowledge, your word says. And we ask that that knowledge be spread across the earth. The knowledge of the Lord cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. Let it be, O Lord, let it be. Help us, Lord. Help us to get knowledge and understanding ready as a tool to bring your people into the kingdom, to walk in the Spirit, just as Jesus did, just as He demonstrated for us, to walk in the Spirit. Father, we thank You for doing this in Jesus' name. You know, many people, all they have in their mind is an ego trip, you know. But for those who want to serve and are willing to give up their life to serve, God is going to use them mightily. And it's not to puff people up, but how great I am or how great you are, it has nothing to do with that. Pray for the man-child, brethren. This is, whoever this is, God will decide. They are faithful people, but they need that anointing to do this work. So pray it into existence. And pray for me too. I desire to be one of the faithful Davids for the body, and have been told by the Lord that I would be, but every promise, as you know, is fulfilled by our faithfulness, which is a gift from God. It's all by grace. Nobody can brag. And God is the one who chooses. And Lord, we just thank You for doing a mighty work. So that's my prayer request to You. Thank You so much. And pray for all the Davids. This is going to be a mighty thing we're going to see here. Something that's actually never been seen in the earth. And you know, Jesus called this the greater works. The greater works. And this is going to be the mightiest and greatest revival the world has ever seen. But at the same time, there's going to be devastation and destruction and loss of life like we've never seen. Oh, Father, we praise You. Father, we love You. We thank You for choosing us to be Yours. And Lord, help us to be grateful in all things, giving thanks always for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us give praise unto Your name constantly. And You're a mighty King, a great Savior. Nothing can restrain You. And nothing can restrain You from healing and delivering and blessing Your people. So, Lord, we're looking forward to this mighty, mighty work of Yours. Please grant us repentance, Lord. We have to walk as disciples. Please grant us Your gift of repentance and faith, so we can walk as true disciples of Christ, not what the world loosely calls Christians, what the world once called Christians. That's what we want to be. And we ask You, Lord, to rise up in us and manifest Your strength, Your power. Let the world see that You are a mighty Savior, and that You do save in more ways than just so people can sit on a church pew and fly away to heaven. Father, thank You for that. Thank You for that in the name of Jesus. We put our trust in You today, Lord, and we thank You for working in us to will and to do of Your good pleasure. And putting in our hearts the desire to serve and be well-pleasing unto You. Let it be, O Lord, let it be. We put our trust in You to bring it to pass. And bless Your Davids, Lord. We know they're in the earth today. And we know that the anointing is close. And we know that multitudes are going to be swept into the kingdom from the revival that springs from this. And just like it was in your day, Lord, the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. So we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name.